Did the Nazis really build a secret base in Antarctica to house UFOs? Stay with us for this episode and find out.
Help me surrender my control, searching for the depth of my own soul. I breathe far beneath, my cover keeps the red from leaking. I'm bleeding on the inside, fear before the fall. 6 feet above the next time, I lose it all.
Alien Podcast, with your hosts Paul Mano and Matt McAfee, Episode 11. Nazis in Antarctica.
Welcome to Alien Podcast. Tonight we're going to be discussing the possibility of whether or not the Nazis built a secret UFO base in Antarctica. What are your thoughts on that one, Paul?
Highly possible, highly probable. I think it probably did happen. There's been a lot of evidence to support it. There's also been some evidence against it, but from what I've read from certain authors that I consider to be fairly credible, they all go with the same philosophy that there is something there, there has been something there, and they're not quite sure what it is exactly that's going on there, but it's there. And I tend to believe them.
Right.
What would be your thoughts on this?
You know, because of all of the information that's out there, I tend to think that it's a real possibility, and especially given the fact that we know there were German U-boats that showed up in Argentina shortly after the war. Numerous ones have been seen in the southern seas. There's just far too many things, I think, really, that point to the direction that, yeah, I think they may have done something there. You know, with their whole claim that they laid there in Antarctica, it's kind of really, to me, right up their alley of things that they would do, the way Hitler was so much into the occult and that. And knowing that they had the downed UFO and they were trying to reverse engineer that, it only makes sense that the scientists would want to continue on after the war. And for those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, in the 1938, there was a crash in Bavaria that was recovered by the Germans. Now, the interesting thing about the story with that one is it had pretty much the opposite of what Roswell had. Roswell, we had a downed UFO whose propulsion system was completely destroyed. Whereas in Bavaria, we had the propulsion system completely intact. However, the airframe itself is what was destroyed.
If you have the power plant, then you can pretty much do anything then.
Right. It's not that difficult to reverse engineer something. And even if it wasn't meant to be, say, an interstellar vehicle, could you imagine a vehicle within our atmosphere that has the propulsion system of a UFO? That would be flipping amazing.
Yeah. Now, from some of the stuff that I've read, when the Germans did, in fact, build their ships in the shape of a UFO, which I think they might have called it Hannibal or Hannibal or something like that, they literally couldn't arm the thing to keep up the rest of the ship as far as what the engine was and capability of what it could do. They really couldn't arm it to match that, to where it really couldn't be a viable weapon for them at the time, because it could fly way too fast for conventional machine guns to keep up with, because they didn't really have any weapons that were more than that that they could put on there.
Right.
Yeah, they really didn't have the weapons to keep up with it. So in that regard, I think they did do it, and I think that they probably did complete it. There's a lot of rumors that they didn't or they did, and we came across one after the war, and we've kept it secret for since then, and I kind of think that they did. I kind of think that they had that. If you've seen anything on the Nazi Bell, that, I think, had something to do with the design of the reverse engineering of that engine that they got, and to sort of get the best out of it to where they could figure out how to put it into some sort of airframe to fly it. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot out there. I mean, there certainly isn't any pictures that you can find, and there's no eyewitnesses, really. So, I mean, there's just some documents and stuff that the Russians uncovered, and there's stuff that the U.S. has uncovered, but they've never made it. The United States government has never came out with anything on it, and they kind of pretty much deny all of it.
Right.
And also to give a little, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for when it comes to them creating a base Antarctica, but at the time, Perón, the president down in Argentina, was a very well-known Nazi sympathist and collaborator. So they could use Argentina as kind of a jumping-off point to build something in Antarctica as far as transferring materials down there, moving troops and everything else down there to build this base. And for the longest time, there was also routes that the airships took down to Argentina as well. So I think it's all possible. I think a lot of it is possible from just by some of the smaller stuff that you'd read about them.
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to kind of look beyond the headlines for it. I know with the U-boats, I believe it was, of course, the Second World War, there were something like 40 U-boats which were completely unaccounted for. And that, when I say completely unaccounted for, we didn't sink them. They're just not in the records. They disappeared. And whenever you take a look at the fact that here recently there was a German bunker that was discovered in the rainforest, stuff like that. There's a television show on now called Hunting Hitler. And what's interesting there was they went to South America and they went to the mountains of Chile. And when they were there, they found complete villages that only spoke German. They said they were just completely amazed by it. And they would ask some of the locals there, hey, where did your ancestors come from? They said it was nothing that they went in and talked to one guy and he brought out a Nazi uniform. And he said, this belonged to my grandfather. And he said, when he handed it to me, he said he noticed the guy was wearing white gloves. They were so revered that people to this day down there still have a very high respect for their ancestors who were part of the Nazis. It's just amazing to me that this has been overlooked for so long. I know during the 1950s, there was a telegram that was sent supposedly from an FBI field agent down in Argentina back to the Pentagon. I believe it went straight to the Pentagon. And all it said was confirmed, Hitler alive, Argentina. It's really not that hard to imagine. Everybody says, well, Adolf Hitler committed suicide. Really? Do we know that that was really Adolf Hitler? Because he had so many body doubles, it wasn't even funny. And from what I understand, the skull that the Russians have that they say belonged to Adolf Hitler has been genetically tested and proven not to be Adolf Hitler. So how true that is, I don't know, but that's what I've heard, and I've read several articles about it.
Yeah. After the war, the Vatican helped a lot of Nazis escape Europe and escape the Allies and wherever they went, but I do believe a lot of them did go to Argentina. I spoke to a woman that I knew, and she came from the country of Chile. And she had said that there was a strong German ancestry there. So you could tell that a lot of Germans had gone to South America after the war. So it's quite evident that they did go there. It's quite evident they still are there. A lot of their families are still there. I mean, the families aren't the criminals here. So there's nobody going after them. And most everybody from the war itself is pretty much gone by now.
Sure.
I think Hitler was down there. I don't think he would have allowed himself to, first of all, be taken alive, of course. And I also don't think that he's not going to go without having somebody to look like he's the one that got killed or killed himself or what have you. But he was a part of this Antarctica thing, and that's when they created that new Swabia, which was the new motherland, basically, is what they were calling it. And that's where they think that the U-boat bases were. I had seen some pictures years ago of something that looked like it could be, but the picture itself wasn't the best quality, so you really couldn't tell if it was actually something that was taken from there or if it was taken from someplace else. And I do think they probably did have a U-boat base there just to preserve their race and their way of life after the war, because at some point they weren't going to win.
Right.
And I think when they finally figured that out, they needed some place where they were going to be able to go and to try to maintain what they had. And Antarctica would be the perfect place to go because it wasn't populated and it never will be populated as other countries are, of course. So, yeah, I think a lot of that there, and as we'll get to with the Operation High Jump here in a few minutes, which will tell a little bit more. But yeah, this is a story that doesn't get a lot of attention, but the more you look at it, there's a lot of evidence to support it.
Well, especially when you take a look at the fact with everything that is going on in Antarctica right now. You know, we have a very strong military presence in Antarctica right now that are keeping people away from certain areas of Antarctica. And then if you're like me and you use Google Earth a lot, there are no actual maps of Antarctica. Google themselves have admitted all of their satellite photos. They have a grouping of photos, but it is not the entire continent. Instead, they use a machine language or a machine code that more or less kind of fills in the pieces that they don't have. It's just a computerized representation of what they say, yeah, it would look like. Not that their satellites can't see it, it's they can't show it. So that's a big thing there. And something else that I should bring up too, when I talked about these 40 U-boats that came up missing, these weren't the old rickety U-boats that the Germans had. These were the brand new top-of-the-line, state-of-the-art U-boats that came up missing. Now, what made these so different was they could very easily travel from someplace like Argentina to Antarctica, submerged the entire way, which was a huge thing for them. They could have very easily slipped under any ships that were out and could have very, very easily made it to Antarctica from Argentina without a problem. So that's one of the other things to consider. And then, of course, we talked about the 1938 crash. And another interesting part of that story is there were several survivors from it. And these were the people that the Germans actually called the Aryans, which is rather interesting when you think about the whole Third Reich and how they wanted the Aryan race to be superior. Because according to some Germans that have talked about it, they said that these were not your gray type aliens. They weren't any type of alien, really. They were extremely human. They just happened to be from another planet. When you take a look at everything, you can kind of start to put those pieces together and you can start to see why or how the Germans were going about doing all of this, or, you know, putting some type of reasoning why they were trying so hard to reverse engineer the ship.
Well, also, if they reverse engineer the ship and if they reverse engineer the power plant and they can get it into some other ship, they figured at the time they could probably dominate the skies with it.
Oh, absolutely.
It didn't happen that way, but that's what they were probably thinking. These so-called bodies that they found, they say that they were about two or three generations behind where they were at the time then.
Right.
They were two or three generations ahead.
Right.
Of where they were at that time. So that could be the whole reason for them wanting the Aryan race, because these people may be superior to them.
Right.
And why would you not want your people to be superior to everybody else on the planet?
Right. But, you know, before we get into Operation High Jump, I think it's important we touch on Operation Paperclip real quick. And what Operation Paperclip is, for those that don't know about it, Operation Paperclip was actually a plan that was put in place and carried out by the United States government to bring a lot of the top German scientists over here. And that does include some of the high-ranking SS officials. I mean, some of the people that came over here as part of Operation Paperclip was Erich Ball, Werner von Braun, Ernst Geisler, and Waldemar Voigt, who is the designer of one of the Messerschmitt models. There were several hundred, probably thousands, of that were led into the United States. So as far as German citizens coming up living after the war? No, we didn't catch everyone. In fact, the United States gave amnesty to a lot of them. So you did have a lot of them that actually escaped. Now, where they went to, that's a very good question. And my money, of course, is on either Antarctica or Argentina or both.
I think it's a lot of places in South America. I don't think it's just Argentina. I think South America itself, just different countries down there. But I think a lot of them, the vast majority of them probably did go there. The ones that did get away or wanted by either us or the Soviet Union for their scientific knowledge or whatever it was. But yeah, there was a lot of them that did, in fact, get amnesty. One such person was named Arthur Rudolph, and he was the guy behind the V-2 rocket.
Yes.
He sent thousands of Jews to their deaths, and the United States brought him over here after the war, basically got everything out of him that they wanted, gave him a nice award, and then handed him back over to Germany to tell them they could do what they want with it.
Right. That's par for the course, you know, because they would do that to someone like Rudolph, but yet at the same time, we have Wernher von Braun, and that's something right there that I've never agreed with the United States on. Yes, I get the fact that we were suddenly in this space race or an arms race at the time, and we were trying to develop a better arms system than what the Russians had. But the simple fact of the matter is these people were guilty of war crimes, and that should have taken precedence over our need for military superiority.
Back then, it was either us or them.
That's very true.
And they'd rather it have been us. You can overlook a few things if you're going to get something important out of it.
That's true.
And I think that's how that worked. But the Operation High Jump took place in 1946 and into 47. And it's really kind of unclear as to what it was actually all about. I mean, there's stuff that they've put out that tells you what they intended to do down there. And yeah, a lot of it sounds, I don't know, just kind of like a front.
Right.
Some of the ships were lost and a lot of the people were lost. And what the government puts out is a lot of stuff that they were just down there for the science of it all and to see how they could, their people and their machines could react to the cold. In 1991, when the Soviet Union collapsed, the KGB released some files that said that they weren't down there for that, is that they were down there investigating a UFO base or something related to the Nazis down there. Some of their ships were attacked by UFOs, and some of the ships were lost to some of that. And it's been kind of confusing as to what the names of some of these ships were, because some of the names that were given were ships that weren't even there, or some of them maybe that they were recommissioned as something else later. So it's kind of a tricky story to try to figure out.
Yeah, I think there were three or four of the ships that no matter which version of the story that you hear, those three or four ships seem to be pretty consistent.
Right. And there was ships lost, and that the United States Navy basically came home with its tail between its legs.
Yes, very, very much so.
So that depends on where you get your information from. Some places will tell you that, and others will, well, it was nothing. They did what they knew it wanted to do, and when they were done, they came home. Well, okay, maybe that's true.
Yeah, they completed anywhere from a 6 to 8 month mission in 8 weeks. Yeah, I believe that.
Right, right. So what was the real reason for that? I mean, they already had stuff down there. So why would you need to send this big task force down there to do all the sort of menial stuff that they were going to do in the first place? It's really interesting that they would send all this fleet down there with all these different ships and all the personnel that went down there. What were they looking for? Were they looking for a UFO base? Were they looking for any kind of Nazi leftovers, so to speak? Were they looking for both? It's really interesting to see what they actually were looking for. Unfortunately, I don't think we'll ever find out what it actually truly was.
Well, to me, I think it's very telling, an article that came out in the Mercurial newspaper from Santiago, Chile on March 5th, 1947. it was from on board the Mount Olympus, and they quoted Admiral Byrd on there. And that quote says, "Admiral Byrd declared today that it was imperative for the United States to initiate immediate defense measures against hostile regions. Furthermore, Byrd stated that he didn't want to frighten anyone unduly, but that it was a bitter reality that in case of a new war, the continental United States would be attacked by flying objects which could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds." To me, that pretty much tells you what he found.
Yeah, I think so. I think somehow or other they got wind of something being down there, and they figured they'd go down and put a stop to it. That's why it could be one reason why they recovered the stuff at Roswell so fast as well, too. They knew what they were looking for, and they knew what to do with it. You know, maybe they had a lot more information about what was going on down there than what they let out. And maybe they, even as early as that time, they knew a lot more about the UFOs than what they ever let on at the time, too. I don't really doubt that they were down there on a scientific mission. I think they were down there to do some business, and I don't think that business went their way.
Well, in 1959, there was another newspaper in Chile. On the front page, it had an article about unidentified flying object encounters with crew members that spoke German. So when you start taking a look at that, and again, that was not an isolated incident. There were several times in newspapers in South America where they had, in fact, encounters like that, where somebody would see a UFO or they would see a UFO on the ground, and it had German soldiers. There have repeatedly been instances where people have been abducted from even here in the United States, and they claim that the aliens either spoke German or spoke English with a German accent. So that's a rather interesting thing, I think, to take a look at, too.
Yeah. Only fitting, I mean, if you created these other UFOs after getting their information and their reverse engineering their engines and stuff. It makes some sense. I mean, it's not something that's really far-fetched. I mean, it's not really all that far-fetched when you look at it. I mean, just on the surface, yeah, it could be, but once you start to dig down into it, it really isn't. Is there really much to it now? No, I don't think there's a whole lot to it anymore, but for a while there, yeah, I think it was probably pretty hot.
Well, it's interesting if you take a look at if the Germans did, in fact, create a base at New Schwabenland, and they did end up escaping there. It's very easy to comprehend whenever you think about how many of those U-boats come up missing. Not to mention, it's not like the Germans never went to Antarctica during the war. They were going to Antarctica long before the war. They in fact, during the war, it is said that they stepped up the amount of operations that they had going to Antarctica. And then after the war, you have these 40 brand new U-boats. I mean, these things were like the latest and greatest U-boats. They were the Type 21 and Type 23 U-boats, which had the snorkel feature on them. Like I say, that would allow them to traverse the entire distance underwater. So they didn't have to worry about being detected between South America and Antarctica. That wasn't even a concern of theirs.
And also a couple hundred thousand people that were unaccounted for after the war as well.
Right. That's just it. We have records here in the United States which show 250,000 German citizens are completely unaccounted for after the war. And they took in death and everything else into account for that, but yet we still have 250,000 people missing.
And that would be more than enough people to get work done, to build things, to complete things.
Oh, of course, they
basically start over again.
Well, you know, the Egyptologists believe that only 100,000 people built the pyramids. But that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there was more than enough evidence to support fact that the Nazis were down in Antarctica doing just what we've said they've done, and probably, and even then some, I would imagine. I think it's probably a lot more than what anybody has known or has even written about. Because, you know, the way the Nazis did everything, a lot of their military equipment was, man, it was top notch. And they didn't really do anything half the way. They did everything perfect, like they still do a lot of things now. So I think that that's a damn good possibility that there was something they had built down there, probably between there and probably even between that and Argentina as well, and maybe even Brazil. Yeah, there's no telling. I mean, and it's like what you can tell with these governments now, and it's always been. If they want to keep something quiet, they're going to keep it quiet.
Operation High Jump, as soon as they got back, they had all of this data that they collected while they were down there. There was something like 70,000 photographs which were taken in Antarctica. All of it was immediately classified top secret or above. Come on, them doing that for an expedition? They claimed that they were going down there looking for valuable resources such as oil or whatever, and then to come back and have everything immediately classified. And then when I take a look at the military presence that we have today, something just doesn't add up there. And I know that they claim that Operation Deep Freeze, which of course came after a High Jump, they claim that Deep Freeze ended, I believe it was in the 1970s. I know for a fact that Operation Deep Freeze was still continuing on in the early 1990s. So people can say, we know this and we know that. Not really. You don't know at all. The simple fact that they said, Operation Deep Freeze no longer exists. Now, Operation Deep Freeze was running at least into the 1990s, if not still to this day.
Yeah, that could be. It's hard to tell how long stuff did work last and how long it did, because the American public has no way of knowing. First of all, they don't tell us of these things, and they certainly aren't going to change that. They're never going to tell us the outcome of any of them. So I think you're probably right. I think it probably did last a lot longer than what people actually thought it did. They've got so much stuff going on down there now that it's hard to tell what they're doing down there now. How much research do you need to do down there, really?
Right. Well, when I take a look at Operation High Jump, in 1942, the German Navy had planned on establishing a base on the island of Kerguelen in Antarctica. It was during that time, there was a British captain, Sir James Clark Ross was his name, landed there in May of 1840. And when he got there, he actually found prints in the snow. Somebody else had already been there. That's an interesting point when you take a look at how long this has really been going on. How long has... We know that people like Shackleton, we were in this great race to get there, but how do we really know? Because nobody technically owns Antarctica. So how do we know who all was there? I mean, Christ, when James Clark Ross got there and discovered those footprints, that's saying something, that there's been a possibility of this going on for a very, very long time. And then, of course, one of the interesting things I thought when the Germans got there in the area of that they called New Schwabenland, there were areas of that where they claimed that there was no ice or no snow. In fact, there were lakes that could be seen from the air. And when they went there, the lakes had all of these really vibrant colors. It had to do with the algae that have formed in these lakes. Now, of course, they said that the water in the lakes, however, that the Germans had tried anyway, had a lot of salt in it. They think that it was probably connected to the actual ocean. But there are freshwater lakes in Antarctica, which are in plain sight, that have been written about by Admiral Byrd, who was one of the first people to ever talk about them. The Germans talked about them in all of their paperwork with New Schwabenland. So there's a lot of interesting detail. There's areas there that are supposedly covered in grass. So when you start to put all of these little pieces together, I got to admit, they form one hell of a puzzle.
Yeah. There's that Lake Vostok that it's also down there as well. And that's a fairly good sized lake too. So there's a lot of different things down there that you could have sustained life in and everything else. So I don't think any of that doesn't really come up as a problem, but you know, also I had read some of the stuff that there was actually some warmer springs or something underneath Antarctica too, in those areas where it was also allowing the water to be a bit warmer underneath the continent itself.
Right. And it's a very good possibility too, with these inland lakes that were connected to the ocean, that there has to be some type of tunnel in between the two. That's a perfect place to hide a U-boat.
Right. You can hide a lot of things down there that nobody would ever be able to find or know, because the general public doesn't get to go there.
Right. And even if you are fortunate enough to be able to visit the continent of Antarctica, there are certain places in Antarctica you simply cannot go. They will not allow you to go, that are highly guarded by the military.
Right. They're not letting anybody get down there to see anything. And even if you did get down there, you wouldn't know where to look, what to look for, how to look for it, unless you had all the equipment to take with you.
Now, I do realize this is probably a topic for another episode, but it's something I have to ask your opinion about. Do you think that today that the United States possibly has Operation Solar Warden there? Which, of course, everybody now knows as the Space Force.
Could be. It could be, because there's no prying eyes down there to look for it. And a lot of people don't know of it. But, yeah, it could be. It could be, because there's a lot of stuff that could go on down there. You just, nobody's going to know and nobody's going to see. So, I mean, if there was a last secret place on the face of the Earth, it would truly be that. Yeah, I think there possibly could be. But yeah, like you said, that's for another episode, and we'll get into it another time, I'm sure.
Well, I just think it's a perfect place to launch a space program, something like our Space Force or Operation Solar Warden.
Yeah, it could be. Whether or not we'll ever find out, I don't know, but it's possible. I think with Antarctica, man, there is a lot of things that are possible. I think they're more possible than impossible down there. It's kind of sad that you won't find out anything about any of this stuff, really, but it is a fascinating topic, though, you have to admit.
Oh, it is. And this is one of those topics where we could go on for days and days and days.
Yeah, because there's so many ways that there's so many directions that it goes. And I'm sure in future episodes, we'll be probably referencing this story and maybe some other stuff that we didn't know about this story in a future episode. That because there's stuff that comes to light all the time. Somebody will get this information or that information, and maybe we'll get to it. Or how many stories actually cross over each other? You know what I'm saying? So it's possible that there's a lot of different directions this story can go. Just depends on how far down that rabbit hole you want to go.
Well, you know us. We'll follow it all the way down.
Till we find rabbits, as long as they're not the ones with all the sharp claws and long teeth.
Yeah, I think it does. I think that about does it for this.
Wraps this one up, unless you have any final thoughts for this episode.
You know, I'm kind of like you on that. I think that there's going to be probably plenty more episodes coming up that are going to tie in directly to this one or be addendums to this one as we find new things on it as well. But I think we have a very good starting point and a very good, I forgive the pun here, considering the whole show has been about Operation High Jump, but a good jumping off point for us.
Right. It's jumping off, not jumping on. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of different ways this one goes.
Absolutely.
And we're just getting started. So we'll be back next week again to once again attack culture. And if you want to give out the particulars and addresses and phone numbers of different things for the website, Matt, you can go ahead and do that now.
Everybody be sure and check out our website. We try to update it every single day with some new and interesting information. That's alienpodcast.net. If you would like to reach Paul or I, his email address is paul@alienpodcast.net. Mine is matt@alienpodcast.net. So be sure and check that out. Find us on social media. We're on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all of those fun things, even though we're just kind of really ramping up our social engineering, I guess you could say. But we are on those places, and be sure to check those out. Join our group and our Facebook page. And if you're, no matter what platform you're listening to the podcast on, be sure and hit that subscribe button on there so that you get all of the latest episodes that we come out with and stay up to date. And I would also like to say that next weekend, we're going to be joined by a husband and wife team from the D&M Paranormal Society in St. Louis. We're looking forward to that, and we hope that everybody tunes in and checks out our new ghost adventures. But thank you for listening.
To find out more about the show, or promptly send your death threats, or for your free, no-obligation anal probe, please visit alienpodcast.net.